B-Pod Studios.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Wednesday night in Boston, St. Louis forward Oscar Sundquist was penalized for boarding Bruins defenseman Matt Grizzlick. As the video shows, the puck is dumped into the Bruins defensive zone, and Grizzlick goes back to retrieve it, with Sundquist pursuing on the forecheck. Grizzlick arrives at the puck and immediately attempts to wrap it around the net. As he does, Sundquist adjusts his course, then hits him forcefully from behind with speed, driving him violently into the glass and causing an injury. To summarize, this is boarding. Sundquist has been neither fined nor suspended previously in his 144-game NHL career. The Department of Player Safety has suspended Oscar Sundquist for one playoff game.
Ken, it would have been nice to get that major at a nice little five-minute power play, but they lose a fourth liner for a game.
And we still don't know who they're going to replace him with. I mean, it sounded like he's going to go with Moore, Bruce Cassidy, from the way he spoke.
Just to make it easier, keep everyone on their strong side.
Same side. He's played how many games postseason? Three? And like he's averaged like just under 13 minutes when he was on the ice. So, I mean, it does just kind of seem like the easy answer, but who knows? And I think that they're going to know, obviously, later on this morning because they fly out.
Well, it's embarrassment of riches who they put in there. So I'm on pins and needles looking to see how they'll fill the vacancy. Ken Danico played his entire 13-year NHL career for one team because he was too afraid to move.
Yeah.
Fell in love with Newark, with the New Jersey Devils.
Who hasn't had that happen?
He's like, I can't leave Newark. He's now an analyst on the NHL Network. You can watch Ken on NHL Tonight, which I've been watching a lot recently, which will air live before and after every Stanley Cup final game. Ken joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, sir.
Hi, guys. I just want to correct you on one thing. Did I hear 13? It was actually 19. So I.
Damn it, Wikipedia. You've done it to me again.
But semantics. Anyway, yeah, I was very fortunate. I felt fortunate anyway. From a kid when he was drafted in 82, I didn't know where New Jersey was. That's what I told my mom when I got the call. I go, where's New Jersey? To still being here and
not much of a school, not much of a school system. Where's New Jersey?
Didn't go. I was from Edmonton, Alberta, Western Canada, but I'm a transplanted Jerseyan now. I've been with the Devils for 35 years in some capacity, whether it was a player or doing the broadcast and doing NHL Network as well. So loving what it's all about this time of year. Two teams. Playing their hearts out for the Holy Grail. I was fortunate enough to raise it three times, and I know what it's all about and what you have to go through to actually win it.
What does your body feel like in the final? Because, I mean, it's just there's so much physical beating that you guys take throughout these playoffs. I mean, and everyone, you know, I'm always cracking up. It's always astounding when they come out with a list of what everyone's been playing with. So, like, what does it feel like as a player during the final? Do you remember the pain that you were in?
Well, when you win, the pain seems to be a lot less, certainly. I remember my last year, I hoisted the cup 2003, and I had a gray grizzly beard, no teeth. I was turning 40 years old, and I remember trying to lift the cup over my head, and my shoulders were shot. It's only 35 pounds. It felt like 200. But it's a war of attrition at times, guys, no question, and that's why your teams need depth. I heard you guys open with Grizzlick, and he won't be available to the Bruins, and now you have to put another D-man in, which they do have a lot of depth on the back end. I know a lot about John Moore, obviously playing here in New Jersey, and I know he's probably chomping at the bit to get the opportunity. And a lot of times, guys that come in the lineup, if you're going to win it all, if you're going four grueling rounds, they become heroes overnight and step in and do a good job. So we'll see if, in fact, it's John Moore. But, yeah, you're exhausted, you're tired, you're beat up. But that's what it's all about. You've got to go through that grind, and that's why we see two big, heavy teams. The games change. We talk about speed and finesse and puck possession, and that's a big part of it. And I've gone with the times. I love the skill sets of these players today, and it's deeper than it was in my era. Having said that, who's left standing? Two big, burly teams, the type of hockey I like.
Yeah, I mean, it was about as physical a game as you could play, that second one. I mean, the series really has been, you know, phenomenal in that aspect. But, I mean, you've got two teams now which basically made a trade-off. Sundquist is out, Greslick's out. If you just look at just the them not being on the roster, who wins out in that equation? Like, who's better off?
Oh, gosh. I mean, this time here, look, Sundquist has been – fourth liners are very important. He's been terrific for the Blues. I always talk about, yeah, your stars have to star, and we know the Bruins' top line needs to be better moving forward than they have been the last two games if they're going to have success and go in St. Louis and beat them, and the Bruins have done it time and time again throughout these playoffs, bouncing back. But Greslick is that mobile puck-moving defenseman. So, you know, maybe the Bruins by a smidge, but I don't lessen the fact that Sundquist has been a pretty important player for the St. Louis Blues as well.
Wouldn't you mostly want to rather lose a forward than a defenseman in general?
Yeah, well,
absolutely. But that's why I mentioned as far as depth, the Bruins also have Kempfer. They've got some depth back there, and you have to have it this time of year because key guys are going to be – are going to be out of your lineup along the way. The Blues rely on that four-line mentality. I mean, if I look at the skill sets from both forward units on the Bruins and St. Louis Blues, I probably, from a skill set, give the Bruins a slight edge, but the Blues rely on those four lines, and they're going to have to fill that void as well. So, yeah, maybe the blue line's a little more important. Having said that, you've got to have faith in your depth and the guys that are able to come into the lineup, whether it's injury, whether it's suspension, or whatever it may be.
All right, Ken, John Wallach is on the show. And, John, you were telling me something interesting about his career.
Yeah, it, obviously, you come from a day and age where penalty minutes were huge. I mean, when you were younger, I mean, how many, 15 to 20 fighting majors in a season? And I couldn't help but notice that you had more than your fair share of knockdown dragouts with the head coach of St. Louis, Craig Berube. Can you explain?
Yes, I did. It wasn't always fun, I will tell you that. I think he was one of the guys that I fought probably most in my career. He played in Philadelphia and Washington in our division, and we didn't like each other a whole lot. But that was the way the game was played, obviously. We know the transition and evolution of the game. You just don't see as many fighting majors anymore. It is what it is. But Berube was just a big, ornery, tough guy. He was always miserable out there, and I had to face him on a few occasions along the way, especially early in my career when we were both young and frothing from the mouth, trying to prove a point and make our way in the National Hockey League. And as my career went along, I got to let the younger, bigger guys start scrapping a little more and be more of a stay-at-home, penalty-killing, shot-blocking defenseman, where Berube, he did it for a long time. And to have the career he had, over 1,000 games, and he pretty well had to scrap right till the end because he did whatever it took to win. And I think that's kind of the identity the Blues have. And that's that, you know, hard game, never quit, never say die type of attitude along the way. Because I looked at game one, guys, and even though the Bruins were down 2-0, St. Louis is fortunate, at the last 40 minutes, I bought in. I'm going, you know, how I did from the standpoint that there's a reason these two teams are here. Their depth, their bounce-back ability after a bad game. I thought the last 40 minutes, the Bruins were so dominant. They hadn't lost in seven games going into that game in game one. I'm going, this is going to be a short series. I was like, just like everybody else. Well, the Bruins are a juggernaut. I don't know if the Blues can bounce back here. And if they go down 2-0, it could be over quickly, and they showed that fight and spirit, just like the Bruins have all playoffs as well. And where I thought game two, the score was a lot closer than the game. It was the Blues, and at this time of year, I thought the Blues were the more dominant team. It's determination. It's will. The Blues had a little more of it in game two. The Bruins had a lot more of it in game one. And I thought the score flattered the Blues, to tell you the truth. And I thought the score might have flattered the Bruins. Fortunately, in game two, still had an opportunity, one bounce, one break, to win in overtime, and they really weren't at their best. if they were able to steal that one, I think it could have been a short series.
Ken, that was infuriating. I mean, that overtime was just as bad as I've seen them play in a while. And hopefully you're right. They'll be able to answer back the same way St. Louis did in game two. And by the way, I just noticed this. Did you fight Jake DeBrusk's dad, Louis DeBrusk?
Yes, I did a couple of times.
So when you go into the...
You know, it's funny how guys remember goals. I remember Louis was with the Edmonton Oilers. I fought him twice in one game. I did pretty good the first time around, and his dad was real tough. And he came out of the penalty box and came right back after me. And I was like, oh, no, Louis, I really don't need to do this again.
Like, I thought we took care of this.
Happy with the first one.
Right. So, like, you're like covering these guys. You ever go, I kicked your dad's ass.
Yeah, when you go in, it's a hostile environment coming from both sides.
Louis was like Craig Berube. He was that tough. And like I said, the second time around, I'm going, come on, man. I was happy with the result. The first one, I hung in there pretty good. But the second time around, he was frothing, and he probably got the edge.
Ken, did you ever hear the story about how there was this one thing where the Bruins will do this thing where their dads will come and, like, go on this,
right,
like trip with them? And so Louis DeBrusk...
a lot of teams do that.
Yeah, which I think is pretty cool. But Louis DeBrusk shows up, and, like, Jake is so young and Chara is so old that he's sitting there realizing, hang on, my dad fought Zdeno Chara, my new teammate, and they're sitting there next to each other. And it was an awesomely awkward moment, I think, for all three of them. And it kind of puts in perspective just how long Chara has been in the league and how he's still... Like, there was a picture of the 2011 Stanley Cup reunion team, and even in the reunion photo, he's the oldest player from that team at the time.
Well, it's pretty remarkable what Zdeno Chara has been able to accomplish and still play at a high level at 40-plus years old, 42, I believe it is, give or take a year. But, I retired in 2003. That's a long time ago, and I played 3, 4, 5 years against Zdeno Chara as well. In fact, had an epic series in 2003 in the Eastern Conference Finals when he was a young Ottawa Senator and on a young Ottawa Senator team that was the best team in the league during the regular season, and Big Z was just coming into his own at that time. And he was feared. He was a big, powerful man, and not too often you see a guy 6'9" that's pretty mobile and can do the things he can do. He's had a terrific career, and I really admire just the leadership, the focus, and the way he is able to continue to play at a high level. It's not just physical, and obviously that slips a little as you get older and you change your style a little bit. I think Big Z's done that, maybe not as offensive at this stage of his career, but he's still a menacing man that is probably the toughest guy, strongest guy in the National Hockey League, and that's just pure work ethic and conditioning and just a guy that still has that passion and fire to be the best.
All right, Ken Danico, thank you. He's an analyst on the NHL Network, and you can watch Ken live on NHL Tonight, which will air live before and after every Stanley Cup final game. We appreciate the time.
My pleasure, guys. Looking forward to game 3. I think this one may go the distance, as they say in the boxing world.
All right. Yeah. So we shall see.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right. So we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yo, man, I don't think they heard you. Won't you tell them what your name is?
Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina. Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina. Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina. Mr. Doubleina.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Bob
Doubleina. I was watching the brand new trailer for Rambo Last Blood that came out yesterday.
Yeah, we were watching it, mm-hmm. and we were taking the over-under on how much Stallone actually runs.
Because, I mean, famously, in his last movie that he made, I mean, he just it looked like he did zero physical activity.
Well, Rambo, whatever it was, four?
Was it just called John Rambo? It's the one that came out like in 08, I think. Yeah.
And the way he killed people was great because he killed one guy while he was leaning against a tree.
No, he killed the main bad guy. Like, the big, like, lead-up was that, okay, he's going to take in all these people, and all he does is take a gun, and he's at the top of a hill, and people are running up a hill, and he's just mowing them down. So he's doing
it's
no
not even
activity.
That. They're running down the hill at him.
Oh, okay.
So he doesn't have to force the gun down. Yeah, he's got a, like,
It's on a stand. It's like a gun on a machine gun on a stand.
Artillery, like, weapon. Like, yeah. He's got, like, one of those, like, you know, a million bullets. And these guys just keep running down at him, and he just kills like 100 guys just moving the gun back.
He probably burned 10 calories doing that. Tops. Oh, yeah. And then the main bad guy just randomly is running through the woods, and then it's Rambo's got his back, Stallone's got his back to a tree and just sticks his arm out and stabs him in the stomach. So that's probably 4 calories you burn doing that. And so Fred and I were watching it, and Fred goes, I guarantee you there's not one scene where he runs in this trailer. And I certainly didn't see one.
I didn't either.
But he kills like a million people. But the one thing about the trailer that I saw and that you immediately notice is that they use this song.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna so, ride till
this
I
is that Lil Nas X who is doing this with Billy Ray Cyrus, and he's the guy who was at game one of the Bruins and had the cowboy hat on and was up on the stage, and this song is like number one right now everywhere, and it's there on this trailer. And then yesterday a video came out of Lil Nas X showing up at some elementary school and in front of a bunch of fifth graders at their talent show started rapping, and the entire crowd of like 200 fifth graders are jumping up and down and singing every single word. And I thought about it. I can't think of a song that went from, whoa, this is the biggest thing, to ultimate and complete and total burnout this quick in forever. Like, I mean, this song is, people are going to be sick of it if they're not already by tomorrow.
Yeah. And
it's like, you want to talk about like overexposure. Like, I mean, this Lil Nas X, 2 weeks ago, did anyone know who this guy was?
No, and it's also going to speak to a long career, given that he's appealing to fifth graders. That's that's especially in the hip-hop game.
I'm not even going to knock him for that, because sometimes even like good songs become like embraced by kids and they run around.
No. This is a manager did this. This is like the Monkees.
Yeah, the manager killing his career right now.
Like, the manager put the Monkees together and like said, here. Like, you know, do this. A lot of groups were put together that way. This is the guy said, all right, you're going to appeal to country listener. What's the two biggest forms of music right now?
Top 40 in country. The only thing that would make it better is if you've brought in a Latin artist to do the crossover into the Latin community, because then that's big money, too.
Then you're confusing the country people. They can only take so many minorities. So you got, I mean, we accepted Darius Rucker. Let's not go crazy. And so, they put cowboy boots on him and a hat. And they just is like, this is like a novelty song. This is like Sugar Sugar.
I wouldn't doubt if they did a remix where instead of, because I mean, what's her name did that? Shania Twain like did one with like a rock. She released an album that was the same songs, but one of the discs was the rock version and the other one was the country version. Jesus. That's disgusting. I mean, that's just like, I'll do whatever gives
what
me money.
What year was this?
It was probably like 2000.
Okay.
When she was the biggest thing on the planet. She came out with an album. It was the album that had From This Moment on it, which was another hit, which she recorded twice. One was a duet, and they said, not good enough. Let's get, like, have you do it on your own. Yes, Dan.
Well, I'm being told that the Billy Ray Cyrus was added in to appeal to the country after he heard the song. Yeah. The song was done. He heard it, liked it, and said, I know how we can exploit this even more.
This is a marketing machine that is shoving this song down your throat.
You know, the kid wasn't like, let's get Billy Ray Cyrus.
That's right. It was forced on him.
And I'm starting to feel bad for him, because I guarantee you this is, but I mean, has there been a song that was for like a week the biggest thing ever, and then immediately people were like, this, I've heard this, I'm going to throw up if I hear this song.
Macarena.
Oh, Gangnam Style by Psy in the other room. I mean, that was one. Gangnam Style.
What was the one, Robin Thicke? What he was with Pharrell Williams. Oh, what song was that?
Yeah, that was Hey.
Yeah,
the one
that
he got
one.
Sued for, yeah.
That one.
But even that song,
that lasted
because it was
2 weeks.
Ripped off of a good song.
I know, like, but that was literally 2 weeks in and out, done.
I don't know. That was around for a while.
Was it?
Yeah, that Robin Thicke Blurred Line song was around for like a good, like, maybe like a month, 2 months.
Okay.
What about
that? Right. Dan said it best. That was a song of the summer. I remember one summer that was everywhere.
What about that Mr. Postman song by those derelicts from Alaska?
Oh, the Portugal the Man?
Yeah. The one. How the hell is that a hit? I mean, come on. Why don't you? So if I. God, I hate that song.
Feel it still.
So if. Oh, they're the worst. How could. So you tell me this. It's Mr. Postman, and they're not hiding it. I mean, it's Mr. Postman.
Yes.
If I released the stupid Mr. Postman real song, that doesn't get played.
Mm-hmm.
But this gets played because they have a beat behind it?
And they have a band with a period in the name to make them alternative. Portugal, period, the man.
Yeah, they're real, like, they're super alternative. They're the alternative to good.
But at least that was hooky. And there's a lot of people who don't know Mr. Postman. At least that had a hook.
Oh, no. Mr. Postman's not a good song. I mean, that song is crap. It destroys me. Every time I hear it, oh, my God. Like, how much blow did they have to give to the radio station to get that played? I mean, there's probably not enough cocaine in all of Columbia to get that song played.
So was it F.U. by CeeLo Green? Yeah. That had a pretty quick burn. I mean, but this one, you're just going to, because I know Tom Brady even tweeted like, hey, opening, what do you think? Perform at the opening game, banner ceremony. By then, you're going to be so sick of this song. It was like, and Hey Ya was a great song. But there
I didn't think Hey Ya was a great song. I love Outkast.
See, I think Hey Ya was
me.
It was a good song. But I mean, that got so overplayed that I remember at one point, was that Andre 3000? Yeah, Andre 3000 was doing these award shows, and I remember at one point he just went, for the last damn time, here you go. And they did Hey Ya. It was just like everyone was sick of it because he played it so much. But I think this is not Lil Nas X's fault. I think, honestly, you're right. He's just being exploited and thrown everywhere.
He's being completely exploited. Because they know the kid's not going to last forever. They got to get him with two chubby white guys to keep the country audience.
Pharrell Happy.
Yeah. No, that lasted forever. That's still...
He did that at the Oscars. You remember that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was around for a while, and it still played at, like, company picnics.
Yeah, and at every, like, Gymboree or whatever.
Gymboree.
Like anything where they're, like, kowtowing to kids, they play Happy. It's like the...
Right, I think I saw the Rock and Fire Explosion perform that over at Chuck E. Cheese.
I'm lucky I'm out of Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, it was a glorious, glorious period of time
so
when
clean.
I realized we were done with it.
Oh,
so clean.
I'm a rebel just for kicks, yeah. I like Fred Toucher. He's my favorite DJ now.
I
Portugal
hate
the
that
man
song.
Got a period in her name for no reason at all. India.re.
Everyone has to have, hey, Mr. Postman. Everyone, like, that just exists, that song. I mean, I don't like
70 years ago, though. Like, I mean, it's a complete ripoff, obviously. But
no, but it's an intentional ripoff. I mean, they're not hiding that it's a ripoff.
Ooh, I'm a rebel just for
oh, my God! Why is he singing like this?
Someone to play this.
Why is he singing like this? Why is he singing like this? Does he sing like this? It's like he's been kicked in the balls every song?
I don't know.
And he's like being cute. Oh, God! I swear to God I'm not acting. I hate it so much. Can you picture being like in a band? Okay.
Hey, guys. I got an idea for a song. Kick it.
Hey, I'm Mr. Frogman.
I'm a rebel just for kicks.
I'm a rebel just for kicks.
Yeah, you're a big rebel. You're from Alaska.
Burgess, that's not a woman? Is that a woman?
No.
Sounds like Robin Thicke a little bit, actually.
I'm going to kick it like it's 1986. Go F yourself. Your lyrics don't make any sense. You're singing in that soprano for no reason. And you stole stupid... Somewhere Mike behind the Mike Callahan is outraged.
Yeah, if I was... Oh, but by the way, somebody said, what does the Fox say song? That might be the only thing you compare it to.
That's it, yep.
That was like burnout.
You know what my wife had her alarm by accident be, and she couldn't fix it for a while, was everybody clap your hands. Can you imagine that being like your alarm?
Is there any other part to that song other than that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember it, but I mean, that's another thing they play at kids' things.
Well, it's either that or it's Imagine Dragons.
I'm finally out of that now, too.
Imagine Dragons is like, I mean, it
finally escaped.
And Imagine Dragons, like, I almost feel like they just said, we're going to write hits, whatever. But I mean, you want to go to like any kind of kids talent show at like an elementary school, everyone's Imagine Dragons.
For a year and a half.
It might as well be Kids Bop. Right.
For a year and a half, I was stuck in Imagine Dragons zone, and I'm finally out of it.
You know what song I absolutely can't stand anymore is I Want to Rock Right Now. I'm a bass and I came to get down.
Hang on, you just now? Like no. 30 years after it
no. That was 1987.
No, I'm saying, did I just say just now? I didn't say just now, but that's a song that I can't stand here either.
Oh, all right.
Like, it's not good. Like, the rhymes are horrible.
It Takes Two's a good song. It's just, it's. I can tell you if you're burned out. I mean, it's been played everywhere for 30 years.
But it's like,
years.
People liked Curtis Blow, but if you listen to it now, it's awful.
Yeah, that's more nostalgia now that you're looking back. It just kind of reminds you of, you know, the time.
I don't know. I was like 6 when those albums came out, and I never liked them then.
Houdini's not good. The Freaks Come Out
5 minutes. Freaks Come Out at Night was good.
The Freaks Come Out at Night's got just a funny chorus, but
yeah,
5 minutes of funk.
No. Go ahead.
No, that wasn't it.
So I was watching Crush Groove the other day.
Oh, of course you were.
What channel was that on? I would have watched
that. One of those movie channels.
Yeah,
and the Fat Boys. Not very good.
No.
So I was cleaning out.
Can You Feel It is a mess.
I was cleaning out part of my. Oh, Can You Feel It? I am the human being.
Exactly. What a mess that was.
I found a poster that I had when I was in college, and it's like a Subway sized poster of the Disorderlies. And I'm like, this is the greatest thing I own. This is the Fat Boys movie, The Disorderlies, and it's them like clowning around.
Let's put them in a hospital.
I'm like, I'm never going to burn this. I'm never going to throw it away.
The fat boy that wore the raccoon hat,
yeah,
he, not even that fat.
I mean, no, he was the lightest of the three. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he was. I mean, come on, compared to the other two guys,
yeah,
get a real fat guy in there. All right, what do we have coming up in the stack?
Okay, so there
you
is...
You said you had a quick thing.
I'm a rebel just for kicks, man. Ooh, I'm a rebel just for kicks. I've been feeling it since 1956.
Scoop-a-da-doop-duck.
We're snapping all day, yeah.
Coming in at number 3 on our survey.
Envelopes just full of hundreds in white powder.
Fred, if you hate them, just know that they're going to spend an eternity trying to capture that moment, and they'll never be able to.
Exactly. That's why I brought it up, is that they're done. I mean, they're done. Done.
They're the Chumbawamba of our generation.
Chumbawamba had a good song.
Yeah, I liked that song. I thought Tub Thumping was a good song.
Everyone likes that.
If it comes on a bar now, I'm all into it. I'm like, all right.
How could you not like that? There's some songs that you can't not like.
Sure.
Like when you first heard F.U. by CeeLo. Like,
I
thought it was great.
I like that song.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't like it anymore.
But I mean, at the time, it was like, all right.
Oh, like I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys.
It's a great song.
That's
a great song.
I agree.
And by the way, if you want to get any bar or like a nightclub going nuts, play that song. I'm not kidding you. Everyone in the place will sing it.
If you want to get a club going, you've always played Luchini by Camp Low. That is the song that gets everyone going. All right, here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news,
and for Tetra and Rich,
download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Tetra and Rich. Have we gotten any photos of... What's up, guys, from Pasternak?
Oh, plenty. I mean, there's... I think I retweeted most of them, some of the best Photoshops we had. And then, although the last Photoshop I just got was you with Portugal the Man as the lead singer, your favorite band here.
I'm a rebel just for kicks.
Do they pretend to have a drummer?
Wait, what are you talking about? They have a drummer.
Do you think that was drums in there?
Yeah, that's drums. That's not a drum machine.
Let me hear.
Ooh, I'm a rebel just for kicks. I've been feeling it since 1966.
It's drums.
You should jump off a cliff too.
I don't know if that's the case, but yeah, I mean that's I mean they've been playing for a while. I mean they're a real live band.
Wow, that's great. At least I'll never have to hear him again.
Quick, some Revolution news. And I know everyone really goes, turn the stage. But this could mean more than just this about the soccer team. There is a report from The Athletic right now that the days of the Revolution sharing a home with the Patriots over Gillette could be numbered. They are saying that a source close to the team...
They're going to be playing at Harvard?
...is telling The Athletic that they are close to landing a deal on property for its own home stadium, which it's about time.
They're the only...
They had one.
They're the only MLS team that doesn't have this,
that's
right?
That's not true. The one in Atlanta uses the dome.
Oh, that's right. In Seattle, too.
And everyone in Atlanta pretends to like it.
Yeah.
And they almost sell out the dome, which is crazy.
They sell out the dome.
Yeah, I mean, that's unbelievable.
No, because everyone just in unison said, guess what? We love soccer. Guys that I've known for years that had never touched a soccer ball in their lives... Like, it's all about the stripes.
Who's that guy? Kamla. Kamla went nuts before the parade,
we're
right?
We're champions, man. We're champions.
That's right.
Yeah, now Kamla doesn't have a job.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet you they have to talk about the Atlanta United. And there's nothing like being in a bar and see a bunch of jabronis with scarves on pretending that they're in Europe.
Or Toronto. One or the other.
You know what I like is a team filled with players that couldn't play in Germany.
Well, the good thing about this, if you like soccer, and you live near the city, then awesome. You don't have to drive all the way to Gillette, where that's obviously we know kind of a nightmare. But the other thing is, they're not saying where this is going to be. But for years, I know that they've been trying to put one over kind of near South Bay, like right near here,
right
near
our radio station. I know a place where you could put it.
Where's that?
And just create a tourist destination du jour.
Just over in Everett?
You pop that sun
Everett, Las Vegas?
Everett.
You know?
Yeah.
There you go. It's one-stop shopping.
And then you get the, guys that kind of lead the culture changes.
Mm-hmm.
You get them in Everett, you win them over, and then you got the whole world.
The tastemakers are already in Everett, Fred. Come on. You don't need to bring anybody in. They're already sitting there. But that's the rumor was it's going to be around this area. And I think that's a great thing, not only because, listen, if you're into soccer, you can see it here. But they use those for, like, good-sized concerts. So instead of having to go to some place that's, off the train line, like go to the Xfinity Center or whatever, which is super far away. And I always feel bad because I can't drink at concerts out there. Like, if I want to go and enjoy myself... I don't want to go to some place where I have to drive.
You could spend, $80 on an Uber.
Well, that's the thing. So if you have one on the train line or near the city, a place where you could go see some of those Xfinity concerts, that would be unbelievable if they had it in the city.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be more excited just to have that venue for the music almost than for the soccer. But yeah,
wow, you would like the music more than the soccer?
You know what?
My
son is really into soccer. So, and like, all of his friends are now. So taking them, that would be a good way to kill an afternoon.
You got
to
get him out of that before he becomes
a... I got the same deal as Rich. Same thing.
Like, I would probably go to a ton of soccer games if it was here in town.
Yes.
Yeah.
I might go to like two a month during the season.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
I got a couple of nerds coming.
Yep.
Yep. Yes, you do. Soccer, they got a new coach now, Fred. This guy's going to turn things around. Mm-hmm. So imagine if you were one of the biggest rock stars of a generation and you tried to surprise some people that you heard in your hotel cranking your own music. And when you knocked on the door, nobody recognized you. That's what happened to David Lee Roth. About 2 weeks ago, he was in Las Vegas for the Electric Daisy Carnival, which is the big EDM festival. Why he was there for that, I have no idea. But he has this thing called The Roth Show. And The Roth Show makes these videos, which I now have to go through every single one of them and explore this road, this rabbit hole. But he had a film crew. He had a bunch of people with, like, boom mics. And so he goes, hang on, down the hall, there's somebody in this hotel room and they're cranking Van Halen. It sounds like a party in there. Get the cameras on. I'm going to blow some minds. So here is David Lee Roth walking over to the hotel room where there's obviously a bachelor party going on. knocking on the door, and he's going to surprise them and go, it's me, David Lee Roth.
Which room had the Van Halen sound?
These guys.
Right here?
Yes.
They can't hear.
It's a happy neighbor. We heard some Van Halen here, and my name's David Lee Roth, and I'm right across the hallway.
Oh, dude.
Dude's looking at him at the door like, what?
This is like The Office.
I mean, it is. This is a Michael Scott moment. The guy opens the door. He's probably like, you know, like 22. Wow. Opens up the door, and there's like a bunch of his bros in the background. They're all kind of drinking. They're like, who's at the door? Someone complaining about the noise? So this guy's like confused, still thinking that they're complaining about the noise. It's like, and I'm David Lee Roth. And he takes his hat off. And he's got like short hair. It's like, hey. And he's like looking at him like, huh?
Oh, poor David Lee Roth.
One to know, we're on our way to EDC, but the fellas here were coming down the hallway, and we heard some Van Halen, and I said, no. So we're your neighbors, guys. We're off to EDC. And we heard, you know, one of the fellas said, I heard some Van Halen through the doorway. So I am Van Halen.
We'll be here still.
Outstanding. Fellas, my pleasure. Have a great night. Enjoy the Vegas stay. Small, tiny world.
Apologize now.
No, don't.
So they're still apologizing for the noise. They still think he's complaining about the noise. And by the way, the laughing you hear is his own, like, crew. Is like the two guys with him. And they're like, huh? And he goes, yeah, sorry about the noise.
Yeah, he's not letting this bit go. He's not letting it.
He realizes it, huh? They don't know who I am.
But he's like, maybe
if I... Oh, this is so tough. This is so The Office.
Because I love David Lee Roth, too. It just...
Do that something.
Hey, if it's too loud, I'll make sure it gets through.
Not to worry at all.
Okay, so he leaves, is walking in the hall, and he's telling his crew, like, isn't that something? And the guy comes down the hall and goes, man, I'm sorry once again for the loud noise.
It's tough to hear.
I know.
Of course. Yeah?
Yeah.
Don't worry about noise, smoke, off-color humor.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's...
I just want to give him a hug. Oh.
I listened to a podcast of David Lee Roth, and I had to stop it at half an hour through because he was making no sense. None.
It's called his radio show.
Yeah, he's like, okay, they made this sword, okay? And they hit it, man, okay, you know? And then you're in Japan, and you're thinking, I'm going to go. So I got drunk on tequila.
I actually have a clip from that podcast. Okay, what was that? Was that?
Gotcha. Right on the avenue. All right. Scott Zolak is in studio. I imagine he'll leave during the break. And we will do a crossover in just a moment.
Thatcher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thatcher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We are Thatcher and Rich, and Scott Zolak is in studio.
What's up? About that little advertisement right there.
Rentham, baby.
Little town of Rentham, Parker's Pub. Brewing, street team is going to be there. Sports Hub street team.
Keep a stool open for you.
Preview party.
You going to go down
Pride of the Beast.
You going to stop by?
They have a Zolak. They have a Zoburger there. Hey, made my own burger.
What's on the Zoburger?
Caramelized onions, bacon, mushrooms, and two different kinds of cheeses.
See, I already thought it would have been a burger and on top of it a filet of fish. Isn't that your thing?
No, he's right.
Well, then you're stealing someone else's product. Like, You know, you got people in St. Louis stealing your content. You don't want to steal other people's content.
And sponsoring it.
Just trying to be a little creative. We're trying to jazz up different parts of the menu. But my man TJ, he's the grill master there, and the wings are phenomenal.
I was a regular at a bar. It shut down, but I was a regular at a bar for probably about 7 years. And they didn't, long enough to get everything comped. But, which, by the way, if you're a regular at a bar and they charge you for more than half your drinks, you're in the wrong bar. But the never even offered to name something after me.
I went to a cafe in Maine one time, and I was looking at my menu, and they had the Dale Arnold.
Oh, that's the main diner. No, that's the main diner.
I was just there last weekend.
Yeah. Is it really small?
Yeah.
don't be mean to him.
It's served on a crate.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dale loves going up to Maine. He's been doing it for years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
tell me all about it.
But that was just very random. They would
you
have
just stop
that there.
By and you pull over and there it is, the Dale Arnold. Yep,
I'll have the Dale Arnold. What's it come with? Side of fries.
Shrimp.
What is it? Is it actually a sandwich?
It is actually a sandwich. I don't know what's on it though.
Sorry,
I'm sure it's delicious.
Line. Yeah, again, they love to step on it.
They're stepping on Fred's good lines there.
What are you shrimp? What are you saying? Someone's short.
Yeah, they said what's on the side? I said shrimp. Get it?
He's not little.
He's little as hell.
Liddell?
Yeah, he's a little guy.
He's not like Soucy and Reese.
Well, come on. Now you're the.
You put them three in a circus together, and Dell's the ringleader. He's got them little eating off his feet.
Now the bell curve is all ruined.
I'd pay money to see that Soucy Reese fight.
You and Mike Reese at Springsteen or whatever the hell show it was.
You were tossing him around like a small ball.
Shoulders
I was
a baby.
Cackling, laughing like an idiot for so good. The way. You are so much bigger than him.
Oh, it was great because, like, Vollmer, we saw Vollmer and Ninkovich was there. Ninkovich isn't a really big guy, but who else was there? Vollmer was there. Matt Light. And I got the two of them, and I said, hey, come here, get Reese in the
He just started like fast around.
Look him down, like, we're pushing him around.
But he's having, like, a good time. And, like, he's got this big grin on his face.
He's dancing and smiling. He's in heaven. He loves. He's one of those Springsteen weirdos.
Here it is. Bertrand's, like, not specific.
Look at the size of his head, man.
Jesus Christmas. How tall do you think Bertrand is? Like 5'10"?
Bertrand's not. Bertrand's 6'1", probably.
Oh, really?
I'd say so.
Okay. Well.
No, maybe not. Maybe 5'11"?
All right, sure. But regardless, he's not like you.
He looks. Reese looks like a pin on Bertrand's shirt.
He looks like a headless body or a head with no body.
Yeah.
So basically, no sports articles were written in Boston that night. It was basically every sports writer in town. It's like, Sistine!
And I was walking in the back and said, hello there, Scott Zolak. It's me, David C. Gosher. I came all the way in for this Springsteen concert. Yeah. You know my wife. And she's like, yeah, I've been drugged about 15 of these. God save
you walked out of that,
back
right?
And they're all dancing, doing like the twist.
He doesn't play hits, Fred. Springsteen doesn't play hits.
Some of them he
honest
does.
To God. I've been comped a ton of concerts and paid to go to this one. Paid to go to Springsteen because now you got to pay to get the good seats. There are two concerts in over 30 years of Gillette Stadium that I walked out on. First one was in the 90s. It was Dave Matthews Band because he went on some little 30-minute jam thing because Beck opened up for him, and Beck was unbelievable.
Beck rules.
And I remember the front chanting, we want Beck back. People were chanting. Walked out of that and walked out of this because he went and played hits.
Yeah. I looked at his set list, and he played like 35 songs. And I think maybe five of them I recognize.
Tell a story and I'm like, about a girl from down at the beach.
Unless you're a punk band with like minute and a half long songs, I don't want to hear anyone play 30 songs.
He didn't play Glory Days. Yeah.
All right, what do you guys got going today?
A little bit of everything. Getting you ready again for Bruins, the suspension, which is the right thing to do. The finals last night, Beatles got some takes on that. And Drake just being a little bitch. So that's pretty good.
Drake is just a huge nerd.
Just go away.
He's just a huge
nerd.
Go
away, super fan.
All right. Everyone have a great weekend. Bye.
Beetle!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.